The Mishnah had listed a whole series of takanos, mishum tikkun ha'olam, fix the world. We'll start again at Nun Amud Beis. And one of the things listed was ein nefrayim minachasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh bnei chorin. Let's say I bought a field from my friend, and he guaranteed it, and now this field was taken from me by someone whom he had owed money to, so I'm now going to take the value that I had paid him back. I can't go collect that value from things that he had sold to others if he has things that are still unencumbered. And that's because of takanas lekuchos, in order to help buyers, that buyers shouldn't lose their fields. Therefore, even if you have a guy who had lent money, and a buyer had bought a Beinonis field, and typically a Baal Chov, as we've learned, gets paid with the Beinonis field. But the borrower himself has an unencumbered, freestanding Ziburis field. The loan will be paid back with the Ziburis field, again, Bishum Tikkun Olam, to fix the world, which we call Takanas Lekuchos, to help out buyers. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Achtavoy Bar Ami, Rav Achtavoy, the son of Ami, asked b'matana, heyach, what would the law be if the person who I'm going to collect the proceeds from, he didn't sell a field, but he had gifted a field? We say that this takana, that the sages said, I can't take fields that are in the hands of others, because we don't want to hurt buyers, maybe that only applies to buyers. Maybe that doesn't apply to recipients of gifts. Takantu David Rabban Mishum Seder Delekuchos. The rabbis made a takana because they feel bad for the buyer. The buyer expended money. Aval matana, but when a guy got a gift, the lekup Seder Delekuchos, there was no expense, he didn't expend money to get the gift. So lo, then the rabbis never made a takana. And if I am, let's say, a lender, and I'm coming to collect a field, and the borrower only has the Buris fields, the guy that he gave a gift to has the Bain in his field, I could go collect the Bain in his field. Odilmar, maybe Matana Nami, even when he had given away the field as a gift, Ilav Disle Anamine, if not for the fact that he was getting some benefit from the guy whom he gave the gift to, Lo Yoyev Le Matana, he never would have given him a gift. Every gift is really a purchase. Because somebody did me a favor, I'm giving him a gift. And therefore, keep said to Lekuchos Dami. It should have the same status as the law that the sages made a rule that they don't want business to be chilled. They don't want people who buy to lose their fields. And therefore, the recipient of a field as a gift also shouldn't lose his field. Amar Le Mark Shisha Bredi Rav Chizda Rav Ashi. So Mark Shisha, the son of Rav Chizda, responded to Rav Ashi. Tashma, maybe we can bring a proof from the following. We learn Shchiv Marasha Amar, a dying man who says the following: Tznu Masayim Zuz Leploni, give 200 zuz to let's say Reuven, Shalosh Meos Leploni, 300 zuz to Shimon, V'Arba Meos Leploni, and 400 zuz to Levi. Ein Omen, we don't say Kol Hakodim B'Shtar Zacha, whomever had the had a document saying that he should get money, let's say Reuven first, and then Shimon, and then Levi, that Reuven should get as much as he was promised, and if only if there's something left over is it given to Shimon. And only if there's something left over from what Shimon got is something given to Levi, because we assume that he didn't try to, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean to say Reuven gets everything, and if something's left, then Shimon, if something's left, then Levi. We assume he really wanted to give to all of them at once. You can't get all those words out at once. So he said, give to Reuven 200, Shimon 300, and Levi 400. And therefore, since that was the terminology he used, and that's the meaning of what he had given, therefore, Yatza Alav Shtar Chov, if in fact, after the Shchiv Merah dies, somebody shows up with the fact that the dying man had owed him money, and now there's nothing left in the dying man's estate because the money's been given out. But since the money was given out equally and really simultaneously, go vemikulan. In other words, they all have to pay towards this debt. The guy who got 400 pays, if the debt was 9 shekel. So the guy who got 400 would pay 4 of the shekel. The guy who got 300 would pay 3 of the shekel. The guy who got 200 would pay 2 of the shekel. Avo, but if the Shkiv Mera didn't say that, but rather he had said, Tnu Mosayim Zuz Liploni, give 200 Zuz to Ploni, the Acharav, and after him, Liploni, give 300 to Shimon. The Acharav, and after the 300 to Shimon, give 400 to Levi, Liploni. So once he said, give to one and afterwards to the other, then Omrim, then we say, Kol HaKodem Bishtar Zacha, the one mentioned first, has to get all of his amount before we give anything to the second. And therefore, Lefikach, therefore, Yatzal of Shtar Chov, if an IOU is produced, Govim in Ha'achron, then the guy who has the IOU, he collects everything from the last recipient. As Rashi explains, Shafilu Yatzal Shtar Chov Kodem Shegavu Hein, the Gava Bal Chov Eschovo, Havi harishon litzava kodem ligvos esanimtza ad shiigva kol chovo. V'acharav yitol sheni, v'ashlishi yafsid, v'ashtanami lo shnak. That in such a case, the first guy, he was given the possessions, and he has a right to all of his 200. And only after he gets his 200, if there's anything left over, can the second guy get something. So, relative to what he got, the 200 that he got, what he left over is ben chorin, relative to what he got. And therefore, ein govin min ha-mishubadim, you can't take from the mishubadim, but makam shiyesh b'nei chorin, where there are things that are free. Right? So therefore, only if ein lo govin l'shalafanav, only if the last one doesn't have enough for the loan, can you now go into Mishubadim to the second one, and only Ein Lo, if even the second one didn't have enough, go from Mishum Lufnei Panav, then you can go to the first one. Va'af Agav, and even though the Kama Beinonis, let's say the first one, the field he got was a Beinonis field, Ubasra Ziburis, and the last one got a Ziburis field, Miziburis Gavi, the guy collecting the loan is going to collect from the last one first. He'll end up getting Ziburis. Mibeninis lo gavi. He's not going to be collecting from 2 and 1, even though they're the ones who might have the Beninis. So what do you see? Shmamina, you see that even though here the Shchiv Mera said give, right? It wasn't a loan. It wasn't a sale. It was a gift. Even though it's a matana, even in matana, nami avu rabbanan takanta. Even a field given away by a gift, we have the rule that you can't collect this field if there's other fields available, that you can't take from the Meshubadim when there is Bnei Chorin. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe this is not a case of a gift. Here the Shchiv Mera said, give to the first, give to the second, but he's giving a loan, or paying back a loan. So really it's a sale. And in sales, of course, we have takanos to save the buyers. Ivat Nukamah. What's that?
Why is the last one who comes, what not specifically identified? That's what's happening, right? The fourth guy came?
No, the fourth guy had a loan against the giver.
Yeah.
A creditor.
So did all.
No.
Now that we're saying
it. Now we're saying
it. Very good. Yeah, the Gemara's been talking about it. Very good. Very good. The Gemara's been talking about that. So the Gemara says, how could you say that all of them are debtors? But the Mishnah said that the dying man said, give. Give means a gift. No, it's nubachogi. It means give as a give for the debt. So the Gemara now asks what Fred is challenging with. If they're all guys with IOUs, the Lechzi Shtara Deman Kadin, right? What does it matter what he said, whether he said to you first and to you second, or he said, I'm giving to you and to you and to you, then it's not to you first and to you second. And then a fourth guy shows up. Let's just look at who has the shtar that is earliest, and he's the one who should be able to collect. So the Gemara answers, Deleka shtar. We're talking about where there is no shtar. It's a milval peh. So the Gemara says, if there's no shtar, so Vakala called him the shtar kamar, but it said anyone who had an earlier shtar, That meant b'shtar pekaditza. That meant anyone who had an earlier shtar of the will of the dying man, who was mentioned earlier. But none of these people have shtaros. We by the same. Alternatively, we can say b'matana nami. Afilu matana nami. Really, this man was giving out as gifts. And really, right, maybe we can say, even when there are, in fact, we could say like this. Even that in a case of a gift, right, we can say that the Bryce is talking about where the guy was giving gifts to those people. Velo kashin, still, there is not a question, right? And the reason is like this. My government Achron, what did the Braisa mean when the Braisa said that the dying man who gave property to one and then to the second, then to the third, then he dies and then an IOU is produced, we go and collect from the last one, not from the first? What that means is like this, a nifsad ela Achron. The last one is the one who ends up losing his cash. In other words, if the first one was given the Beinonis field, and the second and third were given Ziburis fields, the IOU guy, the guy who has the debt, will collect the Beinonis field, because we don't say he has no rights to Nechasim Meshubadim when the Shibud is based on a gift. However, that first one who loses his Beinonis field goes back to the Acharon and says, you need to reimburse me, because I was entitled to the money, and only after me could you get the money. So now that I lost my money, I have a claim on your money. So you're going to be the one who ends up losing, but in fact, the Beinonis field would be collected from the recipient of the Matana. The Ibai is saying, well, alternatively, you can say a third point, a third possibility, Deshavu Kulu Lahadadi. This Braisa is talking about in a case where all the fields were of the same status. You didn't have the first guy getting Beinonis and the second guy getting Ziburius and the last guy getting Ziburius. And we should say, well, how could he go take the last guy's Ziburius? Why shouldn't he be able to take the first guy's Beinonis? Doesn't that prove that even the guy who got a gift, once he gets it, it's Meshubad. If there are other things left over, those things are B'nei Chorin, and you can't take from him when they're B'nei Chorin. No, it's not a proof that gifts are Shibudin that you can't collect. Maybe this is just talking about a case where all of the fields are the same level field. And since they're all the same level field, so then why take from the first before the third? No, then of course you take from the third because the first had a higher claim than the third. So the third is the one who ends up losing. Then the Mishnah said, Ein motzi'in la'achilas peiros. So this is a little bit of a complicated case. Somebody stole a field. Then he turned around and he sold the field. So we'll say, Yankala stole a field and he sold the field to Reuven. Then Reuven, once he got this, you know, he was worried about buying from Yankala. So he had Yankala write a guarantee. Yankala had to write a guarantee that if, for whatever reason, the field's not going to stay in the hands of Reuven, he's going to pay Reuven back. So he was mocher sadeh b'achrayus. But the field that he sold b'achrayus was itself a stolen field. Okay, so now the buyer of this field had things grow in the field. And then the nigzal, the guy who the field was stolen from, came and took the field back from the purchaser of the field. So what did the Mishnah say? Ein motzi'in, we don't take L'achilas peiros, to repay the buyer. We don't take money to repay the
279.
Mishnah listed a whole series of cases again, where we don't take from Mishubadim. So It said, "Ein motzin lachilas peros." We wouldn't take for the consumption of the fruits, or l'shvach karkos, for the improvement of the field that the purchaser had done in the field, or l'mazon ha'isha, or food for a widow, the habanos, or food for daughters. From property that's already been sold, again, in order to fix the world. So if this buyer now is going back to the goslin and says, "Hey, you know, I lost all this improvement in the field once the field was taken from me," and the goslin has no money and he wants to go to other people that the goslin has sold fields to and take their fields away, he can't take their fields for peros. Says the Gemara, "My time, what's the reason?" Amar Ula, Amar Rish Lakish. Ula answered the name of Rish Lakish, Lefish Ein Ksuvim. Because when a person sells a field, Ba'achrayus, and says, "Here, I'm selling you the field, and I'm guaranteeing that if you lose the field, you'll be able to come back on me and get me to reimburse you for the field," he doesn't mention the produce that's going to grow in this field. He just mentions you're going to get the money for the field back, not that you'll be reimbursed for whatever grows in the field. Amalei Reb Abba le'Ula. So Reb Abba said to Ula, "Is that the issue? Because it wasn't written." And we know that the whole idea of taking from the Chasam Meshubadim is that since the debt was written, so therefore Islay Kala, everybody knows about it. And since everybody knows about it, the buyer should have been beware. He should have known he's getting involved in someone who's got debts on him. Maybe he's going to lose that which he's buying from this person to pay off those debts. But these aren't written in. So Amalei Reb Abba le'Ula, Reb Abba said to Ula, "V'amazon ha'isha v'akalos." What about the abanos, the obligations that a husband has to provide for his wife and daughter after death? The command k'sivin dami. That is obviously written. And even if it wouldn't be written into a ksubos, we learned in Maseches Ksubos, it's a t'nai bezdin. It's a law that bezdin put into every marriage. Everybody who knows that someone is married knows that the wife could ultimately collect from the husband. V'katani ein motzin. And here the Mishnah says that the wife, after the husband dies, is not able to grab fields that the husband has sold off to pay for her, for the money that was owed to her. So Amalei, Ula said back to Reb Abba, "You're right. Really, if something is written in a shtar, or if it's a t'nai bezdin and everybody knows about it, you should be able to collect it from Nechasim Meshubadim. But Hasam Meikara Achi Itkun, that's the very nature of the law that the rabbis made, that a wife can get money from her husband's estate. She's entitled to get money from the fields that are not encumbered, that are not sold, but she has no right to those fields that are sold. Rav Asi said the same in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The pshat in our Mishnah, why the buyer cannot collect his peros that he lost from the Nechasim Meshubadim, lefin she'ein ksuvim, because the rights to those peros are not written in the achrayus, in the responsibility of the shtar mecher of that deed of sale. Amalei Reb Zeira Reb Asi, Reb Zeira said to Reb Asi, "V'amazon isha v'abanos." But the Mishnah also said that the wife's money and the money for the daughters, they can't collect it from Meshubadim. But that's k'man d'ksivi dami. That's as if it's written. V'katani ein motzin, but it says that you can't take it from the Meshubadim. Amalei, Reb Asi said back to Reb Zeira, "No, that's the nature of the takana of a wife's rights. Meikara hachi itkun, the ksuvin hein etzel bein chorin, vein ksuvin hein etzel meshubadim. That they're only considered written in regards to the bnei chorin, but not in regards to the meshubadim." Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rabbi Chanina said, "Lefi she'ein ksuvin." I'll give you a different reason why the wife couldn't collect from Meshubadim, because there's no definition of how much is her food. You know, it could be a lot. And since it's not defined, therefore, the people who have bought the land from the husband during his lifetime are not going to lose it. Iboilu, that is Shaila. Reb Chanina. According to Reb Chanina, when we say that a person collects from Nechasim Meshubadim, that a person can sometimes go and take away fields that had been sold by somebody in order to collect a debt that that person owed? Does it now mean that it has to be ksuvin uksuvin bai? Those are only debts that are both defined and written? Or odilma ksuvin afal pi she'enan ksuvin? Maybe he's saying, as long as it's defined, you could collect, even if it's not written. The only reason why a wife doesn't collect her debt from Meshubadim is because it's not katsuv. But if it would be katsuv, even though she's not written anywhere, she could collect it. Maybe you'll say she is written because she's a Tznai Bezin, which is what we've been saying till now. But maybe, what is he saying? Does he hold that a defined debt would be able to collect, even if it's a milval peh, even though it was never written, from Meshubadim, from people who've purchased fields? So Tashma, come in here, a proof. Ditmar, we learned. A person who died, and he left over two daughters and a son. So as we learned in the Maseches Ksubos, the son is going to inherit the property, whereas the daughter is entitled to get support. So he died, the first daughter went, and she took one-tenth of the property of her father in order to be able to get married as a dowry. The second daughter didn't have a chance to get her dowry until the son died. So now, when the son died, so now all the property goes to the daughters. So and now the two daughters are inheriting it. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shnia Vitra, that second daughter has lost the 10% of the property as a dowry. We don't say she should get 10% and the rest be divided. The whole idea is of 10% was to have her have a dowry. She should be able to get married. She's getting much more than 10% now. She's inheriting from the whole estate, or half of the estate. So therefore, she lost her 10%.
Is the other daughter married?
No, no. According to Rashi, they got dowries even... Well, the other daughter could be married. Rashi has two explanations, or it could be that the other daughter didn't even get married. B'shas Bagra. She's just of marriageable age. V'amalei Reb Chanina, and Reb Chanina said back to Reb Yochanan, G'dolam izu amru. We said even something more amazing, namely, if the brother would have sold some of the property that he inherited from the father, motzien liparnasa, we would take away that property that he sold in order to provide to the daughter the 10% of a dowry. Vein motzien lemazonos, even though we wouldn't take away property that had been sold in order to give daughters food to eat. That Amrit, and you're going to say in terms of that 10%, Shnia Vitra, that because she didn't get it quickly, so now she's lost it and she's not entitled to it, we would even take away from a buyer in order to give it to her. So you see that it's very powerful. Okay, so that's the argument about the 10%. But now let's take a look. Va'parnasa demekitz kaitza. Michtav loksiva, but here, in regards to this 10%, the dowry amount, it's something which is defined, it's 10%, but yet it's not written into the ksuba. The kamotzia, Reb Chanina says, she would go and get out of the hands of people who bought fields this 10%. So you see that when you have ksuvin veloksuvin, something defined, even though it's not written in a document, that's already enough to take away from Meshubadim, from people who bought fields. So the Gemara says, maybe it's different. Shani Parnasa, the 10% is different. Kivan the Islay Kala. Because that's something that everybody knows about. That when a man dies, they know, oh, but 10% of his property is going to have to go to his daughters for dowries. And therefore, command the Ksiva Dami. It's as if it's written down. Masa Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Challenged Ula, we learned Mesu. B'noseyem nizonos minachasim b'nei chore. If a man married a woman and he promised to support her daughter for 5 years, then he divorced her, so he still has to support the daughter. Then she went and married a second man, and that second man also promised to support her daughter for 5 years. And then, Mesu, both of these men are dead. So now the daughters get the support from the property that hasn't been sold, but not from property that the husbands have sold off, right? Mesu b'nosei nizonos minachasim b'nei chorin. That's the daughters, because the daughters are recipients of a debt. Their own daughters, the daughters of these men, would only collect from the chasim, from that property that hasn't been sold off. Because a daughter is only entitled to collect from b'nei chorin, not from mishubadim. Vihi, whereas the this daughter from the stepdaughter, nizonis min chasim mishubadim, she's entitled to take even from fields that he sold for her livelihood for 5 years. Because she is a balas chov. So what do you see? You see that she's, even though the commitment to her may not have been written in a document, she's collecting. Why? Because it's defined. So you see that even something not written in a document could collect from a shubadim. So my answer is no. Here, when he married the wife, when the first guy married the wife, then when the second guy married the wife, each time they made a kinyan chalipin and they wrote it down. Ihachi, if they wrote something down, banos nami. So then his daughters also should be able to collect from mishubadim because things were written down. Now his daughters didn't have anything written down. For the stepdaughter, he wrote something down. My Pascha, why would a person write for the stepdaughter and not for his own daughter? Okay, so the answer is like this. Bas ishto davoi b'shas kinyin. The stepdaughter who is there at the time of the marriage to the woman. So, and he's making kinyanim, ahani lo kinyin. So he made an acquisition for her. Bito the lohavi b'shas kinyin, but when he gets married, his daughter's not around, she's not at the wedding, she hasn't been born yet. So then he's not going to make a kinyin, and to her I'm making a kinyin also, that she's going to be able to collect mizonos from my property. So then, lomahani lo kinyin, no kinyin helped for her.
But her daughter is automatically entitled anyway, no?
She's entitled, but it's not written in the shtar.
But there's only four shtar, because she's a daughter.
She's a daughter, but since it's not written in the shtar, she's not entitled to take from the Shubadim.
It has a kol, no?
What's that? Only if it's in a shtar would it have a kol. It does have a kol, but still, it's not in the shtar.
What about if the stepdaughter comes after the daughter is born?
She needs a contract.
Because then there'd be no kinyan.
No, when he married, there was a kinyan. So the Gemara now asks, but Milo Askinan Tavi Tarvayu Bishas Kinyan, but wouldn't it be possible that he could have a daughter at the wedding? Let's say he divorced the woman after she gave birth to daughters. Vahadra, and then he remarried her. And when he remarried her, he's promising to support her daughter from the earlier marriage. And so now there's both a commitment to his wife's daughter, as well as his own daughter. And why then wouldn't they be able to collect from the Shubadim? Ella, so rather we can say like this. Bito to bitnai bezdin ka'achla. A daughter is entitled, as Fred pointed out, to get mizonos from his property based on the tnai of bezdin, the laws of the ksuba. Lo mahani lo kinyan. If he would do a kinyan for her, it wouldn't work because it's meaningless. Bas ishto to lav b'tnai bezdin ka'achla. But a stepdaughter is not entitled to food from him. Mahani lo kinyan. When he does a kinyan for her, so now he created an obligation that's written. The Gemara says, "V'chimigra gara, is a person's daughter worse than a person's stepdaughter?" Ella, rather like this, "Bitok even the bitnai bezin ka'achla, a martzari atfase." When you have a daughter, since the court has already created an obligation to provide for the daughter, so therefore we assume that the father probably gave her a bundle of coins. So we're not going to let her go and collect from people who purchased fields from him, because we assume that he probably already gave her the money, so she's just collecting twice. However, when you talk about a stepdaughter, we don't assume that he's going to give to her money beforehand, and therefore we allowed her to collect. Tashma, come and hear a proof. Amar Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Nasan said, Emasai, when do we have the law of the Mishnah that the buyer doesn't get reimbursed for his payros? When the second guy had bought a field before the first one had improved the field. So then the first one who has improved the field may not go and collect from that field that had been bought before he had improved anything for his improvement. But if he had improved the field before the second guy had bought the field, then he can take from that second guy who had bought the field. Alma, so what do you see? Mishum dulo kadimu, that the reason why the first purchaser couldn't collect is only because the second purchaser bought the first purchaser, what he did, his improvements are only after the second purchaser had purchased the field. But if his improvements had been before the purchase from the field, he would be able to collect the money back for his fruits, for the improvements, even though the improvements are not written in the shtar. So you see that you could collect sometimes from Meshubadim even a debt that's not written in the shtar. So the Gemara says, really, this question is Tanoihi. It's really a machlokas Tanoim. The Tanoim lived in a Braisa. Ein motzi en lachivas peres l'shvach karkos l'mazon isha v'abanos minochasim mishubadim mipnei tikon ha'olam. The Mishnah says we would not get reimbursement to the purchaser for the improvements that he made, or money for the food of a woman, or food for the daughters from fields that had been purchased because of fixing the world. The fish ain't ksuvin, that's because these obligations are not written in a document. Rabbi Yossi said, v'chimatikon olam yesh bazeh. How is that a way to fix the world? Hello, ain't ktsuvin. Rather, the reason is because these are not amounts that are defined, and since these are amounts that are not defined, that's why you cannot collect. But if it would be defined, you'd be able to collect, even though it wasn't written in a document. Then the Mishnah had another takana mishum tikkun olam v'amotze mitziya lo yishava. If a person finds a lost object and returns it, and the guy who gets it returned to him says, "Hey, but that's not exactly what I lost. Swear to me," he does not have to swear. So now the Gemara explains what that case is. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Shnei kisin kshurim matzasali." If a fellow says, "You found two wallets tied to each other that were mine," v'alo omer, but the finder says, "Lo matzasi alech," I only found one wallet. Nishba, he has to swear. However, if he says, "Shnei shvarim kshurim matzasali," you found two oxen tied to each other, v'alo omer, and the finder says, "Lo hay alech," it was only one ox. Eino nishba, he doesn't have to swear. My timer, what's the reason? Shvar minatli ma'adadi. Oxen are always trying to separate from each other. So the owner can't say, "Oh, I know you had two together." Kisin lo minatli ma'adadi. But wallets don't separate from each other. Then Rabbi Yochanan went on. He said, "Shnei shvarim kshurim matzasi." If the owner says, you found two oxen tied together. Valo omer, and the other one says, "Matzasi, I found one. I found both. But v'rzayt lochechemen, I've already returned one of them." Hareza nishba, he has to swear. The Gemara says, "I don't understand. Rabbi Yitzchak, lesli amotzi mitziya lo yishava mipnei tikkun olam." Does Rabbi Yitzchak not agree with our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if you find an object and you want to return it, You don't have to swear because we want to fix the world. Answer the Gemara. Udamar Kibbeleza ben Yaakov. He's following Kibbeleza ben Yaakov. The Tanis went into Brash Kibbeleza ben Yaakov. Omer. Kibbeleza ben Yaakov says, Pa'amim Shadam Nishba Al Tainas Atzmo. Sometimes a person might have to swear about his own claim. Kate said, for example, if somebody said, Mana Le'avicha Biyadi, I owed your father 100 coins. Ve'achaltiv Pras. And I paid him half of what I owed him. Hareza nishba. This person has to swear that he did in fact pay that half. Vezeo shenishba al tainas atzman. Then he has to swear based on his own claim. The chacham say no. Einu elo kameshiv aveda. He's just returning a lost object. Upater, and therefore he doesn't have to swear because the child, the orphan, doesn't know about anything. He can't make any claim. So. Partial admission usually requires an oath. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Leslie Meshev Aveda Pater. Does Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov not hold that if you return a lost object, you don't have to swear? So Amar Rav, Rav said, Betzoa no kata. Now that's not really talking about a fully lost object. It's where the child is claiming that I want the money back. So in second, kata need mishasha ispe. What? A child says, I want money back. We wouldn't pay attention to that. But now we looked at a Mishnah, Inish Banatan is Cheresh Shota V'Katan. You don't have to swear if a child or a Cheresh or a Shota says that you owe them money. It's like, when it says, my Katan, what does it mean when it says you're a Katan? He's really a Gadol. He's really an adult. And my Karele Katan, he's called a Katan, L'Gabi Mili Davu of Katan Hu. If, in regards to his father's, the money owed to his father, he's like a Katan because he doesn't know what was owed to his father. Iachi, if so, Tainas Atzmo, it's not that he's swearing based on his own claims. Tainas Achermu is swearing in response to the claim that others made against him. So my answer is Tainas Achermu Vodas Atzmo. It is the claim of others, but it's really his own admission which is making him have to make the oath. So you understand, this is what Roger pointed out. Anytime you have an oath, it's that somebody makes a claim against you, and you admitted to part of the claim, and then you have to take an oath. So the Gemara says, "Ela b'derabba kamiflugi." Really, the argument here is about the issue of Rabba. Amar Rabba had said, "Mipnei ma'amra Torah modu mixes a tiny yishava." Why does the Torah say that if somebody admits to part of a claim, he has to swear? Because chazaki, now the mei is part of b'fnei ba'al chova. We know that a person would never have the chutzpah to tell someone he owes money that he doesn't owe him at all. Hi, b'kulei ba'ed l'michvrele. He wanted to say he didn't owe anything at all. He didn't do it because he doesn't want to have that chutzpah. Really, he owes all of it. He didn't admit it that he owed all of it. He's justifying to himself, I'll just delay it, I'll pay it later. Once I have money, I'll pay him back. And Hashem says, Rami Shvu Ale, he has to swear, so that he'll admit to all that he owes. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds lo shna bov, lo shna bib, no, ain't no meis. A person wouldn't have a chutzpah to tell the son of the one who lent him money, I didn't borrow anything from you. Hilkach lav meishav avedu. So therefore, when he goes to the son and says, you know, you're right, I borrowed money from your father, it's not ashavas aveda. However, and he has to swear, Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan hold bodim ain't no meis. A person won't have the chutzpah to tell the guy who did him the favor, I didn't borrow anything from you. Avo bivno, but to the son, meis. And he would be brazen. Umidolo meis. Now here in this case, since he's not denying all of it, he's a meshev aveda, and therefore he is exempt from the oath.